Hello and welcome to Planet Homemaking Podcast. I'm your host Epifanio and this is episode 812. And today we continue looking into the gift and city of Jinki 55, which is freedom. Today we're going to be looking into poetic genetics. And this is the term that the author of the Jinkis has given to a transcendent understanding of the application of language. I don't know if you've heard me before, but I always say that language is probably the most useless tool that we have in this civilization. Yes, you could say that because of language, we've gone this and this and this and this and this and this and that. But if we would have evolved, instead of having language through telepathy, we would not be where we are now. It would be a completely different reality, because in order to have telepathy, you have to have an understanding of the interconnection of the apparent separation among everything. In order to have telepathy, there's have to be an understanding that there's no other. There is no separation. It's only you. There's nothing to hide, because there's nothing to fear. But because we choose to have that separation in order to experience life to the nth degree of what happens. What happens when we feel like we're separated and we're experiencing this separation and people are dying because of this separation? And that's an experience. And this is what, you know, where language comes from, because we still have to communicate. And so we have evolved to have language. And so he's talking about how poetry is the language manifest, the manifestation of the mystery through language. And if, you know, if truly done, and I don't just subscribe to being just poetry, although poetry is more pure because it's short. But what I call it is weight. When you read something from someone that knows what they're talking about, and that knowledge is experience, and particularly when we're talking about poetry, we're talking about the mystery, right? God, the universe, right? The actual backdrop of everything, what holds the container that holds all of our adventures here, right? But when you read a book of somebody who's talking about this mystery, it truly comes through, you're gonna see this poetry, right? But that's incredibly rare to find that. It usually comes from channeling or, you know, Jesus, the teachings of Jesus. These are people that know what they're talking about. Or the teachings of Buddha, right? Or you know, Khalil Gibran, right? Although most of his stuff is poetry. But it's actually not just in smaller how poetry is made, right? But poetry is in everything. When you truly understand something, people listen, because there's truth there. And in a moment, you know, language can comes back and it rears its nasty little head trying to understand from the mind, from the body, mind, consciousness, from the personality. The personality is always there, like a nasty fool, right? Just, you know, always rearing its head, you know. I'm going to understand this and put it under foot, right? It's not going to happen. It will never happen. The personality has no ability to understand anything. What it does is it archives information. And it tries to and here's the, I think this is probably the most important word, it tries to fix this puzzle that it that that it that it considers life. But life is already, it's already painted. It's already, the picture is already there. The one that doesn't fit there is the personality. So it'll never be able, to fix this puzzle. Yes, we're playing this puzzle, but your piece, because we all are a piece of the puzzle, it doesn't come by trying to figure out the puzzle. It comes by being the piece, and the piece is the puzzle. And now I'm saying poetry. and you know, that's the beauty of poetry. You know, it leaves you with the mystery. But it's a door that opens up your perception. If you allow it, it opens up your ability to perceive more. And that more will come directly through consciousness itself when you're contemplating the poetry. And so when we're talking about poetic genetics, we're talking about the evolution of the biomachine. And we've been talking about this on many episodes. The biomachine is evolving because we are reaching a place of understanding, not from the personality, but from experience. And as we have gone through so much suffering through, you know, lifetimes and lifetimes and lifetimes of fucking up, messing up, experiencing pain over and over and over again. And finally, we're figuring out, you know, oh, that's what happens when you do this and this and this and this. And this and this and this and this are the shadows. This is what we're looking. This is fear. This is the separation. There is no separation. There is no separation among anything. But in order to live this illusion, right? Because at the very core, this reality is a game. All of it in this multiverse is a game. Is the game of experiencing what happens when you extricate, when you pretend that life is separate, that there's such thing as time. Because time is at the core of this separation, right? And separation is a separation from focused attention and manifested reality. That's what time is, right? And so as long as we're having this experience, we believe in this separation. And so the body has been having that experience because the body is the container of the physical embodied knowledge. That we go through our lives. It goes into the DNA. The more we evolve, the more we experience life, the more it records. And it's getting to the point where now it's beginning to open up because we are beginning to experience the embodied experience of the mystery because we're asking the questions, what is God? What is life? Why do we suffer so much? And how can we evolve? And when we ask those questions, we open the door. And then God says, okay, here's this journey right here. And eventually this is where we're going with our bodies. Our bodies are evolving to the point that they're gonna be able to, they're gonna literally embody this mystery without language. This poetry that manifests as DNA. So we're talking about the fancy words for, the body becoming art, the art of creation. And the art of creation it's already art. All you have to do is look at nature. It's just, it's art manifested and moving. But now it's going to be able to hold more consciousness. So we're going to be looking into all of that. But before we go into that, if you're new to the podcast and you don't know what we're talking about here, you want to go to jorn.tv. That's JOURN.TV. And there's a black menu at the bottom with five links. One of them says Jinkies. Click on that one and that will take you to episode 256. On that page, there's all the information you need to get started using this tool, these gene keys, to heal your life, to expand your consciousness, to manifest prosperity, to heal your relationships, to unfold your true purpose in life. And it's very important that we understand that this is a tool. This is not religion. It has no dogma. People turn it into dogma, you know, when they're starting trying to organize and create these things where, you know, communities, if you want to call it, right, when they're deciding that this is this and this is that. But at its very core, the original intent of the author was so that it can be used as a starting point. It's called the Gene Keys because it has these keywords. And it's these keywords at its very core. It's just the movement from fear to love to enlightenment. We call it the shadow, the gift, and the city. And on that page, you know, listen to that episode 256. And if you scroll down, you'll see something that's called the hologenetic profile. And it's it has a link and it has an example. And it looks like this geometric thing with 11 circles and lines and words and numbers. And when you click on that link that says click here to get your own free personalized hologenetic profile, that'll take you to the Gene Keys website where you can download this map that we're using to begin our work here. There's these 11 areas of ourselves in order to unlock the freedom of our consciousness from the clutches of the personality. And that's the movement from shadow to the gift. And the gift is, oh, we all have all these gifts, right? I personally, on my study, I the way I see it is we are all the 64 gene keys. We are not just 11. That is just the entry point. But contemplating one takes, you know, months. So when we're talking about 11, it'll take you years. 64, take you the rest of your life. But if your journey is about understanding who you are, why are you here, and where are you going, it's all about understanding the attitudes of our personality. And we are not our personality. We are the positioner of the attention. That's what we are. That creates an electromagnetic signature. It has an electromagnetic signature that matches. That it's sent out every time you position your attention, it gets sent into the, you call it the outer world, but it's really just, you know, an expansion of it is all of life. It's you, but, you know, the other side, if you want to call it. And it's going to match that same frequency that you are positioning your attention, and it's going to bring it as experience. When you experience it, it's going to record in your soul as emotion, right? So that's what we are, the positioner of the attention and the experiencer of emotion and recorder. That's what we are. We are not, we don't think, we're not these bodies, right? This is called what's called the body-mind consciousness. This is the vehicle, the biomachine we're riding in this reality. And so as long as we understand that, then we cannot get lost in whatever head trips the personality is thinking about, because it's always thinking. And it's never getting anywhere real, in anywhere real, right? We need to learn to use it like we learn to use a computer, because it's a biocomputer, right? When we learn to use it properly, then we're actually going to be moving forward. So all of that information is there. There's links. There's another podcast, a video. There's Richard Rohr explaining what the hologenetic profile is. There's an index of all the episodes on the podcast. All of that on episode 256, materials recommended, charts, everything you need to get started is there. If you want to learn more about Per Planet, about Jorn.tv, about Planet Homemaking, the pioneers of the Great Awakening, who am I? Click on the About tab and listen to episode 1. Right here, we're in the middle of a transition into a new reality. And at this point, what we need to understand is that it's all about where do you position your attention. You need to, basically what's happened is we're in the middle of what they call the apocalypse, right? And apocalypse really means revelation, the revelation of the truth. So a lot of nasty stuff is coming up. Very important to recognize it, but know that it's a simultaneous timeline. Wherever you put your attention, you shift parallel universes. It's a multiverse. We live in a multiverse, not a universe, okay? And so you shift your attention, you're in a different timeline. Our purpose here with this, you know, these brands is to help lay out the blueprint for a real civilization, because we don't have a real civilization. We have the consequence of living from the personality, which is fake. This is a fake world. Everything's fake here. The education's fake. Government is fake. The economics and finances and you know, money is fake. Social structures are fake. Corporations are fake. The only thing real here is you, the positioner of the attention, your relationships with your brothers and sisters, which we're all the same one, but the same light of creation shining from different angles, and your creations, which is when you position your attention, you are, we call it creation, but it's really rearranging the building blocks of reality. Those are your creations. Now, before they get absorbed into what I call the hierarchical matrix system, this is what's the consequence of all of this fakeness. We have a matrix reality, and it is crumbling. And so the way we move forward is not by fighting it and trying to destroy it or bring it down. It's coming down on its own. Our job is to shift our attention and focus it on building this free, this real reality. And that's what we're doing. And it is made by your realization of your truth within and experiencing your life, your real life. That's how it's made. Not by by trying to build organizations or societies or cultures or corporations. That stuff comes afterwards. But if it's not built from the true essence of your authentic self-expression, that is connected, flowing from your open heart, from the divine light of creation into the world, then it's going to be shit. And that's what we've had. It's going to be more of this fake reality. We all make it every day. So the true job here is loving yourself, loving life. And from that place, you have a natural inner drive to move forward in this or that direction. And then whatever you do is going to be right on. It's going to be a real. It's going to be contributing to that new real reality. If it doesn't come from that, it's going to be shit. It's okay. We've been making a lot of shit all the while. But it's only going to make you suffer and suffer other people. That's what we do. And I'm not saying that it's easy. It's the hardest thing you've ever tried. But this is the way forward. And it's easy when we relax and stop trying to control everything. But who are we, right? When we fall in love with focused attention, we discover a whole other universe. And then all of these games of the personality become, you know, ridiculous. Because nobody's going to, you know, I mean, at some point you stop like hurting yourself for masochistic and sadomasochistic, you know, pleasure, or if you want to call it pressure and pain, you're like, well, I'm done with that shit, you know. Now I want to be happy. So all of that information is there. Let's dive into today's episode, the poetic genetics, right? The higher expression of human language is poetry, according to Richard Rudd. You could say that. I don't have any reason why not to agree with him. And true poetry, it does trigger the connection of the observer, right? The positioner of the attention, and it allows that the mystery, right? The mystery is literally the mystery. The mystery for who? For the personality, because we already are that. It's no mystery to be the mystery. But the mystery is the mystery. The divine light of creation, God, is right now. There is nothing to figure out because it already is. We already are. Who's trying to figure what we are? the personality, the body-mind consciousness, the vehicle, the bio-machine, right? That's what's trying to... We're going to figure out and nail down this fucking mystery once and for all. This is called science. This is called religion. This is called... Blah, 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 blah. And it doesn't figure out anything. And what does it create? Creates systems. And you should act like this. And you should act like that. And it works for some people, and for most people it doesn't. Somebody's successful, somebody figures it out because they're on that kind of frequency length, right? That area of the divine light of creation, that angle. And then the rest is just freaking out here, trying to control everybody. So when we're talking about language, it's the same thing. Language is, and I've seen it, you know, I mean, you get to observe people using language and you can feel the truth. I mean, I see it all the time. You know the truth by listening, right? And I'm not saying that there's something that is true and something that is not. I'm saying that there's refinement of that delivery of love, right? Where what is at the core of language? What is the frequency that's being transmitted? And so when we're talking about poetry, it's truly people expressing the mystery. And so if it hits you, it's because it has. And this is said right here. He says, true poetry captures the hidden essence of what cannot be said in words. The secret is in the rhythm, the cadence and the tonal frequency. And it is everything. It is frequency manifested as language. Frequency manifested as language with the proper rhythm. We're talking about spells. We're talking about magic here. That's what really, words, the power of words are. When they are truth and they have, and you have mastery of frequency, and what is mastery of frequency is truly deliver the, at the very core, language is an attempt to manifest physical sound, and even word, right? Written word, which is kind of the two different versions of the same, the written word probably less so. But it's trying to, attempting and failing for most of the part, but it can be done actually. To give a representation to truth. And so when there's a concept or a manifested, coagulated reality, right, that you've downloaded, that is true directly from the Akash, right, from God, and then you throughout history, people have been giving it words, right? And so, you know, when something is true, then it has become a word throughout history, you know, at its very core, and maybe in the ancient languages, right? So it carries a frequency, and that frequency is sound, and it is also light, and it is at its very core, it's thought itself, it's consciousness. Throughout history, we've, you know, bastardized all of this because people are just been learning language without truly learning the frequency behind the words. And so you speak and your words mean nothing because they don't have the frequency. And then on top of that, you give rhythm. That is why music is so powerful. And if we were actually properly using the right frequencies, music would have already liberated all of our, you know, enslavement of consciousness. Music is incredibly powerful. It puts you on a frequency. Right, that's why there's poetry, or mostly for the most part, is very short, right? Poetry in music. And so there's all these genres of music and they're tapping into different frequencies. And when there's true embodiment of the meaning of the words with the right frequency of the music, you have something incredibly powerful because it has this rhythm. Right, and obviously you got, you know, the part without the music, you would be, it'd be just the poetry, the actual written poetry. So to be a poet, imagination has to free itself from the structure of language. And I would reverse that. I would say that we are all poets enslaved by our attachment or the attachment of the personality to language. We are attached to language. When you accept the fact that language is a useless piece of shit, that's what it is. Language is shit. All of our verbal communications are shit. The language is really what keeps us stuck in a very low frequency. However, there is a way to evolve and to expand our consciousness so that we can use language properly. But it is more about really falling in love with that mystery, with that silence, with that centeredness. And it comes through focused attention. When you fall in love with focusing with a thought, you open the doorway to imagination. Because we are connected always to the source, so imagination flows from God straight, and you are allowing that imagination. And then if you're in the right place, that will manifest as language, right? But it's about being aware of all the useless temptation of language. And because it's the main tool that we use to enslave each other from the perspective of the personality, because we're afraid, because we want love, because we believe that we're not good enough or worthy enough. All of us, right? But when we're aware, awareness changes everything. So the true nature of humanity cannot be caught or homogenized into a logical framework. And I wouldn't even call it the true nature of humanity. I would call it the essence of who we are, because humanity is it's a consequence. Humanity is just, you know, the experience of writing these biomachines, you know, from all these angles of God, right, embodied in all these apparently separated bodies. and he's right. He cannot be homogenized. We are unique individuals. That's why I always talk about, you know, creating this, you know, communities and this, you know, this groups of we're going to do this. No, we can't, because in order for love between, in quotes, two people, right, to happen, each one has to have their own connection. And so as long as we're trying to create something out of separation, it's going to create more separation. When you have yourself, and what I mean yourself is you know who you are, you're downloading that imagination is open, and you download it from the void, right? And you're connected, you're centered, you're grounded, then what you give is love. And your heart is open to receive that love. And the bond that happens out of that, it's not even a bond, it's the truth. It's fucking powerful. That is the foundation of the universe. So you create that, a group expands from that. Now we're talking at a whole other level. It's no longer community. That's oneness of the apparent separate individuals. But yes, you have to be that individual. And so you cannot understanding from a logical perspective all of what I'm saying. That's why I keep saying that language, words are incredibly useless. You have to experience it. So our true nature is wildness. That is so true. And it is this wildness that scares people. And it doesn't scare people. It scares the personality. You can call it people if you want. It scares the personality because it wants order. It wants control. It wants systems because it's afraid of it's going to die. And if it doesn't figure it out, you know, it's going to die. So it can't accept this wildness. But that's the personality. It's not you. The moment you think you have pinned down life, it mutates. And you think, again, I'm going to change it. Not you, but the personality. Your personality or my personality. Everybody's personality. The moment the personality thinks that it has life pinned down, it mutates. And it doesn't even wait for that. You know, life is changing all the time. And our limited perception of reality is what... You know, it's head tripping on itself. The humans are in a deep process of transcending the mental game of trying to understand life. Because you can't understand life through the mind. They call it the monkey mind, right? All here, jumping all over the fucking place. Right? You can't understand life. Because life is. I mean, it's as simple as looking at what is. And you're going like, well, why is it that? Right? Or how? We're going to get into the how in a little bit. Why is that? Or how is that? And it is because it is. When you look at the trail, it's a reaction or a response to everything. Either you react or you respond to something, life will react and respond to you. And what it is, that is the mirror effect of your own frequency. What you're seeing is frequency. You know, exchange is not even the right word. It's a frequency that is expanding. It's a frequency that is matching, you know, similar frequencies. And it's going to give you that. A really good example would be, you know, one of these social media apps, right? You start posting and liking a certain kind of stuff. And the algorithm is going to bring you more of that stuff. That's the way life works. You know, it's interesting that to see that AI, right, artificial intelligence, is evolving the way life is, obviously, because it is life, right? So the ancient Indian sages called the world we inhabit Maya, an illusion, and it is exactly what it is. To actually see this reality properly, we should be looking into. It kind of like that from Star Trek. They have this holodeck in the series or the movies. And this holodeck is a room that creates light that through gravitational fields feel like matter, and so it's light matter, and then they get to inside of their spaceship. They get to experience any world they want, any scenario they want, any set they want anywhere. It looks like real life. It looks like gardens, or it looks like you know, a building, or the past, or the future, whatever. That's what this is. The entire of this multiverse, it's a hologram made out of very advanced technology at a molecular bio subatomic structure. You look at the building blocks, the quantum field, right? It's this probability, what they call it, this chaos, but it isn't. It's just, it's this goop, this universal or multiversal goop. And where, how does it organize? It organizes according to consciousness. The more understanding of reality that the observer has, the positioner of the attention, and that has experience, right? Then it can hold that attention that holds the hologram. We have a certain hologram in this reality because we've been believing a bunch of bullshit. So we live in a fake world. But the universe is, or the multiverse is everything, all layers of reality. People, or you call it people, but I call it the points of the light, the angles of the light of God, which is going through people. You're going to be not only physical, but also metaphysical people that are not embodied, or entities, you want to call it. Throughout the entire multiverse, their attention is holding the reality the way that it is. And there are certain incredible locks of, you know, that keep planets and galaxies spinning and stuff, right? Built by our origins before we came to land in these bodies, when we were just, you know, floating consciousnesses out there, understanding the nature of gases and how they, you know, come together to create, explode, and make planets and stars and all of that stuff. It's an incredible adventure, right? But it is a hologram. And so this is the Maya, because where we come from is the real reality. And this is also real, right? But what's important is to understand what it is and how it works. So the problem of humanity has always been to try to understand this Maya through the mind, bound by the laws that prevent true understanding. So the personality is trying to understand something that it doesn't have the ability to understand. Because in order to understand it, it has to relinquish its claim on separation. And you know, that is something very interesting in itself. You know, relinquish its claim on separation. How the fuck you do that? You don't. You see, this isn't something you do. That's why it fails. The personality always fails to understand reality, because it's trying to understand something that is, that just is. If you're trying to understand something, you are not the consciousness that creates, that you know, that originates what is. So you are at a disadvantage point. You're trying to lasso a dinosaur, and it's going to eat you before you lasso it. You know, a Tyrannosaurus Rex or something like that. It's little consciousness cannot understand big consciousness. So what you need to do is realize that you are big consciousness, and when you are big consciousness, then you have that understanding already, right? But that's not what the mind does. That's why I keep saying, you know, at all times you need to be aware you are not the personality. You are not the body-mind consciousness. We are not the personality. We're not the little consciousness. We are the entire multiverse. But we have to let go of our need to control and understand. Because understanding only comes from experience, not from thinking. And that's why we get it. Well, that's why we get stuck. So we cannot use an instrument within the Maya to understand the Maya. And that's the mind, right? We cannot use the mind to understand the universe, because it's a little consciousness inside of the big mystery. You have to surrender into the mystery, become, realize, not even become, because we already are the mystery. To realize that you are the mystery. How do you do that? Focused attention, learning how to shut the fuck up that head that keeps talking gibberish all fucking day. The attention, oh, you go all over the place. You're like a cat with a dangling thing, you know, with a freaking laser, you know. Oh, the laser there. Oh, the dingling dangling. Our attention is all over the fucking place. If you fall in love with focus, focused attention on one thing, you find a whole other multiverse. It's the most delicious thing in the entire of creation. It's better than sex, better than anything, better than any drug you could ever take. Focused attention is God. And so that's the way you do it. You learn how to just hold your attention on one thing at a time. That's what we do with these jinkies, right? We're contemplating these keywords. But, it's everything, you know, whatever you fall in love, that is love. So this awareness in humans brings an end to many things, this new awareness. One such ending will be the end of the question of how. How is all of this going to happen? As a species, we will no longer be obsessed with intellectual understanding. That's where we're going. That's how we are evolving, right? This will also mark the end of the spiritual seeker, because this is something very interesting, you know, to understand that everything is spiritual. People have this head trip that they, oh, I'm spiritual and you're not, because I'm looking into these things and you're looking at porn. You are not fucking spiritual. Oh, you're talking about mechanics and cars. You are not spiritual. You know what that is called? That's called the fucking personality. I'm the spiritual one, and you are not. Everything is spiritual because everything is God. There is nothing that is not spiritual. I've met some of the most spiritual, in quotes, right? No, I'm joking. I've met some of the most spiritual people that have absolutely no idea about any of this spiritual stuff. It's how you live your life, how you treat other people, how you treat yourself. And it in its authentic self-expression, filled with high frequency. And on even low frequency, it could be true expression of God. You know, some of these really evil, nasty, fucked up people in the world, they're at the very core, they are expressing you know, a true, authentic self-expression of a very low frequency of God. It is spiritual too. It's low frequency, it's dense shit, right? But it's still spiritual. So, you know, there's not going to be a spiritual seeker because now we figure it out. And not us, not the personality. It's more like we've surrendered to that mystery, right? We'll no longer fix our awareness on our structures and systems. Please, God, hear that one. That sounds fantastic. Yes, because that's where our awareness is, the structures and systems. And that's what we've built. And we've built, you know, a house of cards. We built sandcastles. This stuff falls and it disappears. And it has been happening throughout history through, you know, billions of and billions of years through many civilizations. It's the same fucking story. Empires have built and empires collapse. Why? Because they're built on the mind. They're built on the personality. They're built on fear and separation. They're not built on higher a truth that has a frequency that lasts forever. Love will last. Love is the reason why subatomic structure, subatomic particles attract to each other. That is the glue of life. Without love, we wouldn't have the holodeck here, right? So these will no longer hunger at any level. Oh, that's a big one. Hunger, right? That hunger. We will no longer hunger at any level. We're hungry because we don't understand how life is. Yeah? And so that hunger, it drives us forward for more to get instead of us realizing that the stuff comes from within, right? So because we're no longer seeking, we're no longer hungry. And because we're no longer hungry, we're no longer seeking. To get stuff, we become the givers, right? Because now we're downloading it directly from the source. And then where does it go? It has to go out into the world. You cannot keep it, otherwise you're going to get sick. You're going to explode like a like a pumpkin, you know? Like a frog, you know, that has been filled with air. It's a very nasty image. But that's what happens to people that hoard this love, you know? Because they're afraid, so there's not even love at that point. It turns into pus, into disease, right? So yeah, you open. That love comes through, you give it. And then your heart is open and you're receiving that love too. So like the poet or the musician, we will enter into the mystery itself. And that's what true life is. True life, true living is art. When we live life, we truly live life, we are experiencing, we're allowing art, the mystery, to flow through us. You ask any artist, where do they get their stuff? Real artists, because there's a bunch of fake freaks out there. And I'm talking about the personality, not the soul, right? Not the opposition of the attention. Everyone, all of us, we have that connection to the source. So we all are artists, but the fucking personality out there gets in the way. Always, for all of us. So, but when you see moments that people have been able to kind of get the personality out of the way for a second and allow that, and this happens all the time, not just in music or, you know, painting or you know, it happens in everything. When you make this incredible meal, right, that's art. And you can feel the frequency, feels there's something good in it. It's healing, right? Anything. The way you walk is art. The way you speak, the way you stand, the way you drive. You know? Any moment, anything you do done with focused attention, with an open heart, right? And present. You're present. Then you're not thinking. It's just flowing. And the mystery is flowing. And this is why people get to become these extraordinary, skillful. Like you see some of these sports stars, right? They do things that you go like, fuck, how the fuck did they do that? Because they're not thinking. They're just present and the mystery is flowing through them. That is art, right? So humanity is actually at the very early stage of transcending our genetics. I don't know what he means for that, you know. The body's evolving. So I guess he's saying, you know, what he means is we are transcending our entanglement with the personality, the body-mind consciousness. We are evolving. That's what he's talking about. We are evolving past beyond our, you know, letting the personality run the show. As our consciousness begins to rise up on the pure awareness of our emotional system, we'll finally see through the veil that has long held us captive. As our consciousness begins to rise up on the pure awareness of our emotional system, I don't know what he's talking about, because emotions comes out of focus. So maybe he's saying, so when we clear our emotions, I guess that's what he's talking about, and then consciousness comes out of awareness, right? So we become aware of our you use your emotions. Emotions are used to guide you. They're a guidance system, right? So when we become aware of the pure expression of emotion, then we can begin to heal those misunderstandings of reality, and then consciousness, the frequency of consciousness, rises up. So it's basically what he's talking about here is I would have written it backwards. He starts with consciousness. I would have started with emotion, because it's a little bit confusing. But now I get what he's saying. The consciousness begins to rise up, which is frequency in frequency, because we become we take responsibility for our emotions. That's how I would have written it. And so we finally see through the veil that has long held us captive, this veil of, you know, basically we believing that we are these personalities, right? Once we're free from our minds in this way, we can truly create great poetry of our lives. And this is a moment-to-moment thing. Being aware that the personality is running the show in your life, in everybody's life, in my life, you know, the moment you are aware, then in that very moment, it's no longer running the show, because you become aware. And that's why we use the hologenetic profile to look at all these shadows, to look at where the personality is running the show. It's you are the fucking horse and the personality is riding you, which has to be the other way around. These biomachines are vehicles. We're meant for us to ride them. Learn how to use this mind as an incredible, advanced, super biological computer, right? But when we remember that we are the riders, not the horses, then, and it takes moment to moment of focused attention. You master your ability to focus your attention. That is what it's all about. And so, and so then poetry happens. And it's going to manifest in the DNA, right? Because the mystery is flowing through you, that present that is just pure attention. So we are entering into an era of great beauty. Beauty because poetry is beauty, right? And the body is going to, it is already beautiful, but it's going to evolve to a whole other fucking level. It will be a transcendent era in which creativity will rule, and life itself will be experienced as art. Creativity has always ruled. This isn't, you know. I mean, I guess he's saying that, you know, for so long we've been stuck in the matrix that now people are being living like the furniture, right? They're living as the backdrop of their lives. They're doing shitty jobs that they fucking hate to support the system. So I guess that's what he's talking about. They're not being creative, right? But we are. We're always creating our reality. I call it not necessarily creative, but we're always rearranging the already existing building blocks of reality. Every single moment, it's just that we have to figure out how are we doing it in ways that are not fun, right? That are not art. And that is because the personality is writing us. When we realize what's happening, then there's a process for us to disentangle. And we're going through that as a whole civilization. Number one, by going through, you know, this awakening where everything is revealed. And we begin to see the lies of the world for what they are. So we've reached the end of the episode today. We're going to be looking tomorrow at the possible effects of future genetic mutation and physical changes. Probably that might even be a couple of episodes when we get into that. We'll see. Probably no. We'll see. Podcast right now, it's kind of like it was supposed to be every day, Monday through Sunday. So we're going to get through all of these 64 jinkies, right? Monday through Sunday. Actually, Monday through Saturday, because Sunday we're going to be doing the Pioneers of the Great Awakening. And we got a bunch of really good interviews coming up. If you're going to jorn.tv, at the bottom black menu, you'll see the Pioneers link. Those are our interviews, our guests, people that have, awakened to a different perception of reality. And they have taken the decision to start observing a real world in one way or another. And they're moving in there. And because they've made that decision, they're already shifted timelines. And beautiful people from all walks of life, they tell us the story how they went through the darkness to find the courage to make that decision to change. Because it takes fucking courage to stand up to the entire world and say, you know what? I'm not going to be playing these games of the world anymore. I am going to look here. And everybody's like, oh, you're insane. You're crazy. You're la, la, la. That's what the sheep do. And I'm talking about the personality. Remember, I never talk about who we are. We are the children of God. We're glorious, epic, unruly beings, right? And we're love. And we're one organism, right? But the fucking personality is a piece of shit. So far, right? What it's done to survive, it's created so much suffering. And it's a vehicle. It's a beautiful vehicle, right? And it's extraordinary advance. But we don't know how to use it. If you don't know how to use, you know, a chainsaw, it's going to chop you up. You know, I mean, you need to learn how to use the chainsaw. It's a chainsaw. So, all of that stuff is there. If you want to learn more about our coaching programs, and if you need help understanding this more in depth or kind of a soundboard, click on the support button. You'll find all of our coaching programs there. And just click on those links and they'll tell you more information about there. And also, we have all our social media there. If you want to contact us, go to there's a link to our Telegram chat room. That's how you contact us. So all of that information is there on jorn.tv. That's JORN.TV. At the very bottom, click on the support button and you'll find there. You can sign up to our email list there too. Thank you. Thank you so much for listening. I'm your host, Epifanio, and this is Planet Homemaking Podcast. And I wish you a wonderful rest of your day or evening. Thank you very much. Bye-bye.